I mean, bless them, Lord. They really just don't get it. I mean, men, we love you, but seriously. I kind of felt that way this morning when I was getting ready because I was like, today is Mother's Day, and I am about to do something that is quite stressful for me. I'm going to stand up and talk in front of all of you about being a mom. And I was like, what was I thinking? Why did I agree to this? But I am really excited about what God put on my heart to share with you today. And some of you might know that I'm an English teacher. I teach high school and I actually have a student over here. And so kind of makes me feel comfortable that I have a student in the audience because he hears me talk every day. So Chase, I'm glad you're here today. It was morning at 3:30 in the morning when the labor pains began. I remember I woke up and I thought, all right, here we go. But we all know, based on Jeremy's alarm clock comments, that he does not like to be awakened before it is time. So I went into the other room and I turned the TV on and I started timing it. And so later on that day, 7 p.m. at night, Avery came into the world, June 8th, 2008, and the angels were singing and the heavens were rejoicing and everything was not so much. Avery was born via an unexpected C-section, and so that's kind of the way motherhood began for me. It was quite unexpected. I do think it's funny that Avery was born on a Sunday because everybody knows that pastors only work on Sundays. And that's the day Avery chose to be born, and so Jeremy got to miss a day of work that day, and so it was just great for all of us. I had a baby and major surgery all on the same day. I remember towards the end of my pregnancy, people and they would say, are you ready? Are you ready for this? And I'm sure at the time I was like, yeah, I'm ready. I got some diapers. I have clothes for the baby. We got a beautiful nursery. It even has Avery's name on the wall. We are ready. And then they gave us the baby, and I was like, I'm not ready. I'm not ready for this. And even Jeremy, I remember, he came into the room, and he was like, Lori, there's like a 20-year-old girl in there taking care of our baby. It's so weird. And so that's how motherhood began. I was like, am I really ready for this? Am I ready for all of the challenges that motherhood brings? I remember we got ready to go to the doctor for Avery's first doctor's appointment, and I had one earring in. I think I barely even could get my shoes tied that day. I was just so freaked out about being a mother. There's lots of things that motherhood will teach you. And one thing that motherhood has taught me is never say never. I decided after our daughter, she was born February 10th, 2011. I decided I just needed to get out of the house. I had been cooped up in the house for maybe like 18 hours. It had been about that long since I had been out of the house. And so being my mother's daughter, I needed to go somewhere. Anywhere, I just needed to go. So it was a Sunday, and Jeremy had preached two sermons that day, and so he really wasn't in the shopping mood. And I was like, well, I need some retail therapy. So I am my six-ish week-old baby. Yes, I was crazy. And our two-and-a-half-year-old son, and I am going to the outlet malls. This was my plan. I was nuts. Okay. So I get him in the car, and everything is just fine. Avery had never up to this point pitched any type of fit. You know, he was pretty much an agreeable child. So I thought, this will be fun. We'll go walk around the outlet malls a little bit, have a good time, buy some new clothes for the kids, buy something cute for Lila, and then we'll come back home, and I will be good, get my retail therapy. So we get to the outlet malls in Commerce. I get Avery and Lila out of the car, and I had this wonderful sit and stand stroller that was approximately the length of this front platform right here. Not really, but that's how big it felt. So I put Lila in the front in her little infant seat, and I get Avery in the part where he can sit or stand. And we proceed to go shopping. Well, Avery decided that he wanted to play on one of those cars, quarter in. Only Avery didn't like for it to move, so we never put the quarter in, so he didn't know when time was up. Like, he just thought he could play for however long he wanted. So he was playing on the little car, you know, having a good time. And I thought he had gotten to play for a sufficient amount of time. I was like, okay, it's time to shop. So I got him off the car, And we went into the children's place, except it didn't quite work out that well. Avery pitched a fit like I have in my entire life. He was kicking, he was screaming, he was yelling. I'm pretty sure he bit me. I mean, he was freaking out. And I was like, oh my gosh, these people think I'm kidnapping this child. I walked into the children's place, and of course no one tried to help me. They just stared at me because they were like, you're kidnapping this child. You are taking him from his mother. There is no way a 2.5-year-old boy would treat his mother this way. Uh-huh, yeah, mine did. So I was like, what am I going to do? I'm pretty sure I tried to get him to the children's place. And to add to the irony of the situation, I had posted on Facebook that I was bored, that I had spent too much time in the house. At the exact moment of Avery's meltdown, my mother sends me a text that says, are you still bored? Right in the middle of Avery's breakdown. And so I somehow managed to get Avery out of the store, into the car, and we drove home. Now, you might be asking yourself, what was Lila doing during all this? She was sleeping. She slept through the whole thing. She still loves to sleep, doesn't she, honey? That girl can sleep. And so I called my mom. I said, no, Mom, I am not bored. I am not bored at all. In fact, I regret ever in my life being bored. And that moment became a defining moment for me because I was like, I'm a mom. I have these two children. I have to make choices about how I'm going to spend my time and what I'm going to do with my children. And there are other never say never moments in my memory, like the time we took Avery to La Bamba in his way too small Elmo pajamas, or the bedhead that he walks around with a lot of days because he has double crowns and so his hair does a mohawk. Or the time that Avery very proudly announced in the middle of a very quiet, nice restaurant in Athens, Daddy, I went pee-pee in the potty. I mean, I was proud, but I figured that all the other people were proud. And then I have this little girl who goes out onto the playground, and she just wants to dig in the dirt and play with the rocks. You know, she has dirt all under her fingernails. And I'm like, no, you're a little girl. Don't do that. But that's who she is. But as our children have grown, I've wrestled with a lot of questions, like, how do I manage all of this? I work, I'm a pastor's wife, I'm a mother, I'm a friend, I have all of these roles. And so I ask myself, how can I make it through the day when I wake up feeling like I am already behind? There's always laundry. There's always, always something to do. And so I started to question. I was like, how can I make my everyday moments shine for Christ? And the biggest question I had to ask myself was, how can I give up on being perfect? How can I give up on being perfect? Because that's what I wanted. I wanted to be perfect. And motherhood, it's like we just don't have time for one more thing. Not one more responsibility, not one more person to help. It makes us feel like we are just always missing something, lacking something. Something else needs to be done. And so I started to wrestle, and I was like, how do I take all of these thoughts in my mind, all of these things on my to-do list, and make them be quiet in comparison to the responsibility that I have as a mother? And so I was reading through Proverbs, and I came across this verse, Proverbs 14:1. And it says, a wise woman builds her house, while a foolish woman tears hers down with her own hands. Now, Chase, in class, we call this a metaphor. We're not out there building our house. They don't even let us, like, use the hammer on mission trips. So women aren't out there building the house. This is a metaphor for we have the power as women. We can build our house or we can tear our house down. Now, I'm pretty sure I read this verse and I was like, oh, that's nice. And then I closed my Bible and I went about my day and I went home, and Jeremy got home and he probably was like, "Hey, will you please get me a Diet Coke?" And my response was, "No, I don't want to get you a Diet Coke. I've had a long, hard day. I'm not getting you a Diet Coke. You get up and get your own Diet Coke." And then I was like, wait a minute. A wise woman builds her house. And then I'm pretty sure Avery came up to me and was like, "Mommy, would you come play with me? Come watch me do this." And I'm like, "No, Avery, I don't want to. I'm tired. I've had a long day. I just want to sit on the sofa and do nothing." And then I was like, wait a minute. A wise woman builds her house. So how does a wise woman build her house? By focusing on the fruits of the Spirit, which I think are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, does that mean you can't have a bad day? No. Does that mean you can't sit on the sofa and say, "I just want to put my feet up"? Because there are days that I just want to put my feet up. But I think it's all in our attitude. It's all in our spirit. So we can build our house or we can tear our house down. And I started thinking, I continued thinking about building my house. And I was like, well, that sure does put a lot of the strength and witness and power on me. And I was like, sometimes I'm just tired and I can't do anything else. And so then I read these verses in Psalms. Psalm 127, 1 through 3. And this says, "Unless it is the Lord who builds the house, the builder's work is pointless. Unless it is the Lord who protects the city, the guard on duty is pointless. It is pointless that you get up early and stay up late, eating the bread of hard labor, because God gives sleep to those he loves." Now, I really liked that part, that sleep part, because I love to sleep. And I was like, yes, God, more sleep. More sleep, please. "No doubt about it. Children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a divine reward." Now, there's a few things about these verses I want to point out to you that I discovered in my study of this passage. First of all, when you see "Lord" spelled out in all caps, that is his covenant name. That is the name for God that means that he has made a commitment to us as his followers and as believers, that he will always be there with us. So that, first of all, he says, "I am here always. I have made a covenant with you. I will always be with you." Then that builds the house. In the Hebrew, it actually means that it is ongoing. It is an ongoing thing. It is something that never stops. Lord, who has made a covenant with us, he is always there to help us. He never stops. And so then the next part says, "The builder's work is pointless." The builder's work is pointless. So I started reflecting on that verse. A wise woman builds her house. So that makes me the builder. I'm the builder. As a mother, I'm a builder. But if I don't have the Lord and his covenant promise to me, there, working with me, walking with me, changing me, then my work is pointless. Now, since I'm an English teacher, I decided I would look up some synonyms for pointless just to kind of give you some more words to think about in your mind. And these are some that I found. Pointless. Uninteresting. Worthless. Around in circles. Fruitless, insignificant, meaningless, senseless, ineffective, powerless, of no value, or like being on a treadmill. I thought about your 18 miles on roller skates. Brian went 18 miles on roller skates on a treadmill. Mm-hmm. So that's how it can feel sometimes when you are just spinning your wheels and trying and trying and trying and trying. Sometimes you just need to stop. And you just need to say, God, I can't do this in my own strength. I can't be the woman that you have called me to be in my own strength. I can't be the mother that you have called me to be in my own strength. But we have the promise of Scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so if we make that our focus, if we make the focus, then that's what makes our work not pointless. Now, sometimes as mothers, you know, we're doing one more load of laundry, emptying the dishwasher one more time. I promise you, I feel like I empty and fill up the dishwasher 7 times a day. I mean, it's like it never stops. So if I keep my focus on Christ, then those things I'm doing don't seem pointless. I continue to think about this idea of the builder. I thought, because I'm an English teacher nerd, if you can you put that first one back up there? Not, I'm sorry, the first one in Psalms. Yes, that word builders right there, builders with an apostrophe at the end, that means that that is plural possessive. That means that that's more than one person doing the building. And for me, the first time I read that, I wanted to make that a singular builder with an apostrophe to make it like I was the only one doing the work. And then I read this, and I probably read it 15 times, and then it just jumped out at me, and I was like, wait a minute. That is plural possessive, and since I'm an English teacher, it's like that means that this is not all up to me. This is not all my responsibility. That there are multiple builders. That there are multiple people who are going to help us walk with the Lord. And so I thought, well, how can I do this? Can I live my life so that it isn't pointless? How can I live my life so that I don't slip into living a life of meaninglessness? You know, just going from one task to the next task to the next task without truly, truly giving my all of my heart to the task. And this is what God said to me. He said, you need to embrace the strength of Christ in you. Embrace the strength of Christ in you. Because I come from a long line of strong-willed, prideful, powerful people. Because we are independent in our spirit. And that's a good thing. It's good to be that way. It's good to be strong-willed. It's not good when your children are strong-willed. Because now I'm raising strong-willed children. But you know, this God said to me, he said, Lori, you need to Christ in you. And so if I had 5 minutes with every new mother, and if you said, Lori, what would you say to a new mother? I would say, embrace the strength of Christ in you. Embrace the strength of Christ in you. Because that, I've only been a mother for 5 years, but I can only imagine my mom, who's been a mother for 30 years, and all of the things that she's experienced as a mother, the one thing that will never, ever change is the strength of Christ. Right, Mom? So, I said I wasn't going to cry, and now I'm crying. So embrace the strength of Christ in you. And I also think that once you embrace the strength of Christ in you, you should also embrace your passions. Don't forget about who you are. Don't forget about the things that motivate you and fuel you. Focus on the things that fill you up. If you love to read, read. If you love to work in the yard, work in the yard. Take your kids out there with you. Give them their own little shovel. Let them dig. Okay? Motherhood has made me selfish because I personally, for a period of time, I quit doing the things I loved. And that affected me. So I would tell new mothers, embrace the strength of Christ in you. Embrace the strength of your passions. Don't give up on who you are. Don't give up on the unique person God has made you. I would also say, if you embrace the strength of Christ, embrace the strength of your passions, then that will lead you to be a better wife and to be a better mother and to see the positive in your children and to see in your spouse. Embrace the strength of Christ. Embrace it. Think about that. When you are embracing something, you are holding on to it so tightly. And when you are embracing strength, you can't embrace worry. You can't embrace doubt. Now, they'll try to creep in. You know, we used to have these two Cocker Spaniels, and I would be reading a book, and the book would be here, and Lily, one of our Cocker Spaniels, she would just wiggle right up between me and the book. Now, you might be embracing strength, and worry might try to wiggle up right between you and strength, but you just have to push it away, and you have to say, no, I am claiming the promises of Christ. I'm not going to allow any of these doubts to take over. And so in conclusion, I would like to say to you, moms, you're doing better than you think you are. You matter more than you think. Motherhood is 24/7, never stops. But you know what? There's no job like it on earth. Even at school, I have to tell myself, these are my students to teach, not my children to raise. These are my students to teach, not my children to raise. Because I care about them deeply. I really do. But it just never stops. But I think that you just need to tell yourself, I'm doing better than I think I am. I matter more than I think I do. Let's pray. Father, I just ask that you will take these words and use them to inspire someone, to motivate someone. Just give strength. God, we are mighty because we are mothers. We are mighty because we are yours. And I thank you, God, for these tears that are not tears of sadness, but are tears of joy, for the opportunity that you've given to me to be a mother. And for my own mother, who has taught me a whole lot about laughter. And I ask all this in your name. Amen. Good grief.